try and think about something, an example of your life where you've done something that was overcoming fear. Because most of us have done amazing things. We are exceptional humans that make huge life-changing decisions on a daily basis. We just don't give ourselves credit for it. That is the absolute key. We do so many things, whether that's volunteering to help your elderly, you know, grandparent out on a weekly basis, or caring for a loved one. You probably aren't giving yourself credit right now for so many things that you're doing that are exceptional. And if you start noticing that and writing down, again, this comes back to the power of journaling and these self-reflection practices. If you can do all of those things, you realize, wow, holy shit, like, I'm pretty phenomenal. I can do things that are, you know, that most people won't do. I'm putting myself in uncomfortable situations anyway. And when you realize that you're already doing it, then something comes to you and there's an opportunity and you're maybe a bit fearful. That next time it comes, you're going to feel less fear because you realize that you're already saying yes to hard decisions. So this next one is just what you already do.
That was Connor Tyson, vegan calisthenics athlete and online calisthenics coach. In this episode, you'll learn why powerful daily practices can change your life and improve your health. Plus, how to overcome fear and loss, and how painful losses can teach you invaluable life lessons. Do you want to excel in your health and your life? Or stick around, because Connor will inspire you to live out a life full of purpose. Welcome to the show. My name is Ali West, and since 2008, I have been working in the health and fitness industry. In the space of just under 10 years, I went from being a glorified treadmill cleaner to the owner of my own 9,000 square foot gym, Kinetic Fitness, here in Nottingham in the United Kingdom. Plus, helping thousands of people along the way, both offline and online, to improve their health and well-being. Since 2015, I've been on my own journey of self-discovery, learning how to improve, optimize, and master my mental, physical, and spiritual health on the deepest levels. Now I want to help you do the same by sharing my own wisdom and the wisdom of some of the brightest minds in health, fitness, nutrition, biohacking, and spirituality, so you can become optimally healthy in your mind, body, and spirit. If you're ready, then let the show begin.
Hello and welcome to the Kinetic Fitness Show, where we inspire you to live a longer, healthier, happy, and more joyful life. We cover everything you need to know to be optimally healthy in your mind, body, and spirit. Are you ready to become the ultimate version of yourself? Well, let's dive into another episode with your host and guide by your side, Ali West.
Welcome to episode 106 of the Kinetic Fitness Show podcast. I hope you're having a blessed day, and I'm super grateful that you've taken time out of it to listen to this episode. I have a young and inspirational athlete and coach as my guest today in the shape of Connor Tyson. Connor is only 23, but he has a wise and inspirational head on his shoulders, and he's going to help you today to overcome fear, loss, and help you fulfill your life's purpose. But before I introduce Connor and tell you more about him, I would just like to take this time to mention the sponsors of the show and let you know how you can bag yourself some incredible discounts to improve your own health and well-being. Our first sponsor is Pure Himalayan Shilajit. Shilajit is an ancient mineral from the Himalayas, which has been used in the East for its powerful benefits for thousands of years. Shilajit helps to increase your energy and mental performance, plus many other health benefits. I've been using Shilajit for a while now, and I've noticed improvements in my cognitive performance and energy levels. I'd love for you to benefit from this powerful ancient mineral, so I've partnered up with my good friends over at purehimalayanshilajit.com, and they are offering every listener of the Kinetic Fitness Show a 15% discount off any order of Shilajit. Simply hit the link in the description of this podcast, place an order, and bang in the code AliWest, A-L-I-W-E-S-T. That's AliWest, A-L-I-W-E-S-T, at checkout to bag your discount. Our second sponsor is Mudo Health. Mudo are a DNA testing company, and they make testing your DNA and getting your own genetic profile super easy. All you do is you order your testing kit from their site, it's mailed out to you, you take a simple saliva test, send it back to their lab, and within a couple of weeks you will get a breakdown of your genetic health. with over 90 plus reports on your DNA, and also how you can make improvements to your health on the deepest levels, all laid out in an easy, user-friendly mobile app. Mudo has revolutionized my health, my clients' health, and also my family's health. Actually, my dad recently got off of his medication by implementing the guidance in his genetic report from his DNA test with Mudo Health. That's why I've teamed up with the guys over at Mudo to help the listeners of the Kinetic Fitness Show improve their DNA health as well. They are offering all listeners an amazing 20% discount off any DNA kit purchase. Simply hit the link in the description, add your kit to the basket, and use the code ALDNA at checkout. That's ALDNA, A-L-D-N-A, A-L-D-N-A at checkout to bag your incredible discount. My guest today then is Connor Tyson. Connor is a calisthenics athlete and online coach. Having started rock climbing at a very young age of 5, Connor always had a fascination for expressing movement. Over the years, his journey to discovering the endless possibilities of bodyweight training has been an exciting one. After personally competing at an international level in the sport of freestyle calisthenics, he truly understands what it takes to achieve both the body and the mindset of an athlete at peak physical health. His innovative bodyweight training programs provide his clients with exceptional results and can be tailored to suit a huge range of individual needs. Connor believes that when you truly enjoy the training process, your results will speak for themselves. So what will you learn in today's episode? Well, firstly, Connor shares his story, how he got into the sport of calisthenics. You'll learn how losing his mother at 19 affected his life, and how he used calisthenics to deal with such a huge loss and the lessons he learned from his mother's death. You'll also learn about Connor's mindset and how his parents' attitudes impacted his life's journey. Connor explains the power of routine and why having a daily routine is so, so important. You'll also learn how Connor's spiritual health is progressing and how that is shaping his own life. You'll learn what it's like to be a vegan athlete and how a plant-based diet has helped Connor. Connor also shares how to overcome your fears and how you can combat your fears and not let them consume you. Connor also shares his 3 top tips that you can put into action straight away to help improve the health of your mind, body, and spirit. Connor also shares the power and impact of positive affirmations on your health and well-being and how you can use them to positive effects. Plus, much, much more. Just to give you some context, I actually met Connor last year in a coaching program. Myself and Connor were involved in the same coaching program, Lauren Tickner's coaching program. She's actually been on the show as well, episode 11. You can check that one out as well. But we met on the course, we hit it off, and it's taken a bit of time, but I finally managed to get him on the show. And I know that you're going to love this episode. Connor is a young, driven entrepreneur with a positive outlook on health and life. And I loved recording this episode, and I know that you will love it too. This is episode 106 with my friend Connor Tyson. Enjoy. Connor, welcome to the show. How are you doing, mate?
Yo, yeah, all good, man.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much. It's cool to be on here.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I enjoy talking to like-minded people and on topics that I'm interested and excited about. So I know this will make for a great conversation.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's cool. The topics that we have connected over are pretty interesting, I think.
Definitely. And we'll touch on some of them today. Before we do that, can you just fill the listeners in? I mean, I know about you and I know your story, but can you just tell the listeners your backstory or brief backstory, and then we'll get stuck into the episode?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, for any of you guys who don't know who I am, which is probably most of you, my name is Connor Tyson. I am an online calisthenics coach and calisthenics athlete. So what I do, I always find it weird summing your life up and your existence in one short sentence. But yeah, you know, the main thing I suppose that I'm pushing at the moment is that I compete in a sport called calisthenics. So calisthenics is, I always like to describe it as a mixture between gymnastics, parkour, free running. And it's kind of a way of using your body weight for fitness, essentially. So yeah, I run an online coaching business that helps others learn calisthenics for the first time. But I got into that really, I guess, for a long, long, long time ago, I started doing bodyweight movements, rock climbing. I worked as an outdoor instructor for a number of years, and then that transitioned towards gymnastics, parkour, and then calisthenics when I wanted to start getting a bit stronger. And that's what has taken me to this point.
Yeah. How did you get into it then in the first place? So obviously calisthenics is a huge area and a huge discipline and huge sport. How did you kind of get started? How did it all take off for you?
Yeah. So for me, it was an evolution from traditional weightlifting and bodybuilding. You know, when I was about, so I'm 23 now. When I first started training heavily, I would say I was about 15 or 16. And at that point, the funny story is actually I broke my arm doing a sport called mountain boarding. And I used to compete in that, nationally in freestyle competitions. And again, mountain boarding, another sport you might not know, it's kind of like snowboarding on dirt. So you go up jumps, you do tricks. I broke my arm badly, recovered from that. And I looked in the mirror and saw that one arm was bigger than the other. And I thought, look, I'm going to have to pick up some dumbbells and even, my arms. So I started training at home for that reason. I went to the gym for a few years, and I always was so inspired by other athletes I'd seen in the early days of YouTube or Ninja Warrior on the TV, swinging around, using the body weight. And I just thought that appeals to me so much more than getting big and, looking like a bodybuilder. So I really found the niche of calisthenics before I knew that that was what it was called. I just started doing pull-ups and press-ups because that's the style of exercise I enjoyed the most. And then it just all evolved from there, really. I saw so many free runners that I admired doing cool tricks. And in my head, I had always found that that was more motivating to learn explosive movements and cool tricks than it was to go to the gym purely for, the ego's sake of getting bigger, getting more ripped, getting stronger. And it just came as a byproduct, the fitness, the body I've built. I've never focused on aesthetics. It's always been around functional movement, and I've just enjoyed the journey. So yeah, I guess coming from a background of those sports and rock climbing, it was quite natural that I just transitioned to calisthenics.
Do you think then it was easier for you to transition into it because you'd done those sports before, or do you think that doesn't matter?
It definitely was. I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say I have had a very smooth road into it, because, I've coached a lot of people now who have come from opposite backgrounds. And I know the barriers that can be there if you've never before done a pull-up or you can't hold your body weight for a press-up. And don't get me wrong, you can do it. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been doing pull-ups for years and years just from the rock climbing without even thinking, just naturally pulling yourself up. So I guess I never had to go through that journey, But with that being said, I did a lot wrong in my early years of training, lifting weights that have developed imbalances, tension that I've had to undo through, as I've got more knowledgeable when it comes to anatomy and how to actually reverse the imbalances I've created. I've had to train a bit smarter in recent years, but yeah, for sure, I definitely had a head start.
Yeah, for sure. I want a little touch quickly on this life event that you had, because you had the big life event happen to you when you was younger, and I want you to, if you're cool with it, I want you to share that with the audience, and also how what you do in terms of calisthenics and your lifestyle, how that's helped you to overcome this life event as well, or not overcome it but deal with it in a more effective manner. Share that.
Yeah, of course, man. I mean, I think it's really powerful, because often we all have different things in our life that happens, that happen to us. I don't believe that anyone has any, is dealt a worse card than another. We all have bad things, good things happen to us on a daily basis. But something for me that was very pivotal, like you said, was, all through, I'll give a bit of a backstory and then I'll explain kind of what happened. But, all through my life growing up, I've lived in a family that was incredibly supportive, had a lovely home. I've had a lot of things go on in my life, as we all do, that have shaped the next few years and have taken my journey in a different direction, I guess. And probably from the age of my birth all the way until, mid-teens, my mum had been dealing with lots of health conditions, autoimmune deficiencies. She actually had a condition called autoimmune neutropenia, which was something to do with the deficiency of white blood cells. Anyway, growing through my life, I kind of had to care for her somewhat, not all that much, because, she was very, very determined. She was self-sufficient. She kind of did her best to bring myself and my brother up, and she did an amazing job. But, into the years when I was going 15, 16, 17, her health was really deteriorating. And you know, I'm sure you can guess what I'm going to say next. She actually passed away when I was 19. I think I was 19. Yeah. So at that point, I'd been training more. I'd been, you know, exercising. Like I said, I was working as an outdoor instructor and I did an apprenticeship in that straight after school. So skipped out on the whole uni, the uni journey and went to teach others. So already I realized I wanted to help others do something. I just didn't know what that was. And seeing the health difficulties my mum went through at that early age, you know, I just turned 19. My mum passed away and it was just this big pivotal event that made me think, hold on, all right, what am I doing with my life now? What is this gonna teach me? And in that moment, I kind of decided in the months very soon after my mum passed away that A, I had to take my health incredibly seriously. So I started looking into every single possible way that I could do that. That was the only thing in my life that I'd ever really experienced that told me this existence we all see right now has an end. And that's a fact. You know, we all pretend that isn't going to be the case. Every single day we go through living our life in the matrix and we forget that there, no matter what you believe after this life, which, you know, I believe could be infinite reincarnations, whatever you think it's going to be, you know, there's an end. And sometimes these big shifts have to be very close to home to make you realize, well, I'm going to change how I think on this. So what I did with that event that happened was I thought, okay, I'm going to train to become a PT to keep myself healthy and potentially to inspire others to do the same. And that has led me now, you know, I guess 5 years later to a point where, you know, 4 or 5 years later to a point where, yeah, I'm, you know, wanting to help other people every single day with their health, with their fitness, to change their lifestyle habits. And, you know, with my mum's condition specifically, it was something that was genetic and she already had it. But as with all of these genetic health conditions, I believe that there's so much you can do in your environment that dictates the trajectory of your disease, no matter what you have from an early age. I think you can do so much with your lifestyle to shift the reality that happens. So yeah, I mean, that was a huge thing for me. That started my motivation for this journey of health and fitness, but more so my passion for realizing that, you know, I can take risks, I can help other people, and that I'm just going to do as much as I can in my limited time here.
Amazing. That's an incredible mindset. And that's what I want to touch on next is at 19 to think like that, I'd personally think that's quite rare to have that mindset of, oh, I'm going to help others, I'm going to work on my own health, what I'd call positive traits in terms of mindset. My question to you, Connor, is why do you think you was like that at such a young age? Is that, was that your upbringing? Is that something that's instilled into you? Why did you react like that and not go off the rails, so to speak?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think for me, you know, there are so many other things in my life that had happened previously to that point, prior to then, that taught me that, not that it wasn't an option. I've always known I can do whatever I want and take the path I want to take. But, you know, both in my mum's ability to cope, you know, her incredible coping skills throughout her illness, because it wasn't a one-time event. I knew she was ill for a long time. She'd been in and out of hospital countless times. I mean, we had health scares like for the last 5-10 years of her life. So I knew that it was going down that route. I maybe was a bit blind to the reality of how soon it was going to happen, but I knew that she was very, very ill. And yeah. And, you know, prior to that event, I think when I was around 14 or 15, you know, this must have been 2008, 2009, I don't know. But the, you know, my dad's business basically collapsed. You know, his company went bankrupt. And at that point, we had to sell our house in basically desperation, had to move in with my grandparents. I saw what it is like to lose a huge amount financially. Obviously, that's nothing like losing someone physically, but I experienced loss in a different way years prior to that. And I saw how both of my parents, my mum included, dealt with that. And it was, you know, in an incredibly productive way, especially on my dad's side, you know, him being the business owner, entrepreneur, somebody who's wanting to create solutions rather than problems all the time. He's always having this mindset of, you can change it. You know, why not figure out how rather than why not? And I think that must have been so ingrained in me forever that had you know, this life event then happened, you know, with my mum's illness and, you know, her death, I then thought to myself, well, look, I mean, what would she encourage me to do? What is everyone around me doing? And all of my family moved forwards. They, you know, not that we don't mourn a loss, but it's more that we just take that energy and say, okay, I'm going to make my mum proud. I'm going to take on all of the positive traits that she gave me, and I'm going to really push forwards with that. And yeah, I guess that's where it came from, just the years prior.
That's incredible, mate. You've, at the end of the day, I think when a situation happens like that, you've got a choice, really. You've got, you can either crack on and, like, as you said, make your mum proud or make the person or the situation better, or you can just crumble and fold. And I think you've made the best decision. You made an incredible decision, and so did your family. There's another thing that I want to touch on, and it's that relates to you as well. And the fact that I believe when you lose something, whether that's a financial situation, lose a house, or you lose a loved one at a younger age, I actually think it does something inside of you that makes you actually stronger. Because I was 14, yeah, when I lost someone really close to me. And I think it gives you that inner strength to rise up and to create something with your life when you lose someone so young. And I know that from not just me and you, but from numerous other people that have lost people at a young age as well. So I would never wish that on anybody, but it does, it not all the time, but a lot of the time it can have that kind of positive effect of making you stronger internally.
I say it gives you the superpower of perspective. You know, it's the most extreme negative event, you know, as society would put it, would label it, you could ever perceive to imagine your parent or loved one or close person to you in your life passing away. That's something that if you were to do an exercise, write down on a piece of paper, what could you not cope with? What would break you? If you wrote down the worst possible thing, the person I love in the world the most, if they weren't here anymore, if they weren't here to help me through my hard times, when you take that away, you know that there's no safety net to life. You know that there's no second chance. And if that is gone, like I agree, man, like I would not wish that on anyone. But in a weird way, I have this perspective of I'm grateful that it happened, because it's taught me that I can personally deal with anything, and the world always moves on. I've seen some of the amazing things that have happened on this earth since my mum passed away. And I put myself in her shoes. And if I was to have, you know, disappeared off the face of the earth, then I realized that, yeah, you know, life goes on. So why not make the best of the time we have? Because, you know, nothing is ever for sure. Nothing is ever for certain. So yeah, it's definitely a superpower that I wouldn't wish on anyone, but I'm grateful to have, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And that, I also want to touch on the fact that your dad had this entrepreneurial mindset, and he is an entrepreneur. So do you think that's directly been passed on to you? Or do you think that's why you do what you do and you run your own business, because of your dad?
Yeah, undoubtedly. Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, I've seen my dad go from, I mean, you know, the hustle we all see online of these, you know, entrepreneurs saying they made it from nothing. And, you know, I haven't seen that in my dad. You know, I never, don't get me wrong, we did well. We were, you know, good, stable, middle-class family growing up. I had everything I wanted. I had some lovely holidays. We did not live in a lavish home. We didn't have the snazziest cars. We just had a nice existence, and I'm grateful for it. But with my dad, what I've seen is his ability to, you know, there's something else I want to mention actually about my dad that, you know, I haven't said, but when it comes to work, you know, he was managing a team. So he has a furniture company, and he builds furniture and he designs furniture. But what he loves is making other people happy. What I've seen in him is not necessarily the smartest business sense, but the work rate that he has is exceptional. So he always works harder than anyone else in the room. Doesn't mean he works smarter. So that's why I believe he hasn't amassed the sums of wealth he deserves, because, you know, he's aware of this, by the way. We talk about it all the time. How hard he has worked in the past does not reflect his current level of wealth. I mean, you know,
sorry to interrupt you, mate. I think that's to some extent a generational thing as well. Do you know what I mean? Because my dad's the same. My dad is like what I'd call a grafter. He'll like graft his balls off and work so hard. And the same kind of thing. He's maybe not amassed, don't get me wrong, he's not poor, but he's not amassed maybe the wealth that he probably could have. And my dad found his he's kind of dipped in and out of running his own business to being employed to running his own business. And I was always told that like wealth skips a generation. So I'm hoping that's true, because then that means I'm going to be really, really wealthy. But my granddad was very much an entrepreneurial guy, ran his own business. Retired like in his 60s, but he had a lot of money when he retired. And I always looked at my granddad as an inspiration and think, look, that's what I want to be like. And I always felt, to some extent, my dad's probably going to kick me in the head for saying this, but I always felt like my dad always said the stuff about you can do whatever you want. You can do anything you want to do. You can dream whatever you want to dream. But I didn't think that my dad necessarily took the action on that. Don't get me wrong, he worked hard, but maybe didn't take the action on what he was saying. And I've always thought, okay, I'm going to say it and do it. To some extent. So I think that's powerful. It's all good and well saying one thing, but you got to go and do it as well.
Yeah, that's a cool perspective. Yeah, I think with my dad, it's one of those things that he's so aware now, after the cataclysmic event of bankruptcy, what, you know, looking from a third person point of view, you know, basically what the fuck was I doing here to allow this to happen. But now the funny thing is, since, you know, he got to a point where the day he filed bankruptcy, I mean, he told me he had like £2.50 he had to deposit into his bank account. He bought £100 worth of canned food to last him a year in case he had nothing, stored it in his van, kept some tools and said, I'm going to build this back up from nothing. And he did. And he's got to that point again. That took living in a van for multiple years to get to a point where he could finally invest in a small property for the first time, buying and renovating a boat because he didn't have the money for a property, years not being on the electoral roll, not being able to vote, not having all of these things that you would just assume we all have. But if you lose everything, you don't have that. And I've seen over the, and this is like the last 5 years of my life. This is very recent to now. And I see my dad in the happiest mental state I've ever seen him. He is so content. He loves life. He is genuinely just taking life, you know, grabbing life and just doing what he wants with it. He's gone traveling for months at a time to Australia. He's done things he's never done in his life before, because he has had a similar shift in perspective, both from what happened to my mum and his business, all in a very short space of time. That was like 5 years apart. So couple that with everything, and that's a very powerful figure in my life that I can take motivation from, and, you know, on a daily basis to think, okay, this is actually something that I'm going to live in his footsteps and really do what he, you know, listen to all of his lessons, look at all of the things he did that maybe weren't so right. I can skip that. It doesn't mean I'm not going to have failures, but I can see what he did and try not to replicate that. Coupling that with the fact that he, the whole time I was growing up, he was an Ironman triathlete. He was running hundreds of miles, cycling hundreds of miles. He had a physical, you know, work rate as well. I looked at that as, you know, then that's there, then transferred into the calisthenic stuff I do, thinking, why don't I become incredibly strong? And there are so many things that I take from my dad. Don't get me wrong, there are a million pieces of, you know, gold that I took from my mom as well. But in recent years, it's the combination of both that's been like the magic formula, I think.
Yeah, what kept coming into my head as you were saying that last piece is about living and being as well, because it sounds like, well, your dad, and I know you are, you're living your life, but you're being your life as well. You're not spending time doing or wasting. You're creating what you want to create. And it sounds like your dad's doing exactly the same thing. He's creating the life he wants to live, the life that he loves, and being it and living it, rather than just letting life take over you and doing all the time.
Well, absolutely. It's living every single day, not as the corny saying goes, live every day as if it's your last. But actually, you know, I mean, that's kind of as bad as saying live, laugh, love. It's one of those things that people say who don't do it. You know, you have to do these things. You have to say yes to opportunities. And if you are gonna, you know, post these inspirational quotes on Facebook and on Instagram, but if an opportunity presents itself to you in your life and you can't, you know, take the risks to say yes, then you got to reflect and say, what am I here for? What am I trying to enjoy? Because there are so many opportunities we all get on a daily basis that most of us don't acknowledge. And I know this seems, you know, off topic, but it is so relevant to everything I've seen with my dad, especially. He says yes to as much as possible. And I've really tried to take that. And I know I have been over the last year, and it's brought me a long way.
Yeah, for sure. Which leads me nicely into what I want to talk to you about next is is your daily habits and your stuff that you're doing on a regular, or maybe you can call them non-negotiables, however you want to label it up. What are you doing day to day that's allowing you to live your life, but also to flourish with your business and with calisthenics and with everything that you're doing? What is there any things that you have set in stone that you're doing every day to help you towards that?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. It's I think the power of the routine is something I've always been aware of, but being an in-person trainer for a few years prior to 2020, I was naturally on my feet for a lot. I was working as an outdoor instructor for that, so I always did daily steps without making it a goal of mine. I was out, I was active. That kept me happy and grounded. But this year, especially with, you know, all of these new restrictions and that less social interactions of daily life, they've caused me to think about my routine a lot more. And I got to this place where earlier in the year I started thinking, how can I optimize my day as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, but also just to feel the best in myself I can. And if I'm going to live in the same room every single day, I need to figure out how to be happy. Otherwise, I'm going to be miserable, right? And I want to be the person that's going to inspire others, not join the complain train. So, you know, what I started doing was every single day when I wake up, I keep my phone off airplane mode for at least half an hour, always. That's a non-negotiable. Phone is always off. Before I go to bed, I listen to some kind of meditation music or some kind of guided meditation, or I'm just in silence. But the phone's off, stays off until maybe an hour after I wake up, or half an hour. I usually go out for a walk in the morning in the cold. Just, I mean, it's mostly cold in the UK. I wish. No, that's just everywhere else. Like, other than the walk in the morning, I always have a shot. Surprise is still on right now, actually. But yeah, I think it's so important to just get outside and walk. I mean, I'm blessed to have a dog and I enjoy getting outside with her. But aside from that, getting out in the morning, I'm not going to lie, I usually listen to some kind of podcast or motivational music in my ears to hype me up for the day. The same stuff, Tony Robbins, Jim Carrey, all of the crap you hear all the time on, if you type in motivation for life, I know off by heart every quote. But it's something that has really worked for me over the last few months, keeping me empowered to move my life forwards. I get back from the walk, usually write down some positive affirmations of where I want to take my life, what I already have, some gratitude, what I'm grateful for. And then I jump in a shower, have a cold shower, and then I turn my phone on, and that's like an hour after. And then whatever else I do in the day, that can be. But in terms of a morning routine, you know, that may sound like a lot if you're listening to this thinking, oh, I don't have that much time. But I started waking up an hour earlier so I could do all of that before I had to start anything. Mm. And, you know, I just shifted my sleep schedule to go to bed a little bit earlier and wake up a bit earlier, still get the same amount of sleep. And I feel ready, because you never know. This comes back to when my mum passed away. You never know what's going to happen in a given day, especially if you're obsessed with social media like we all are. And we are slaves to our screens, and you don't know what notification is going to pop up, what email you're going to get, what client is going to pull out. Like, there are so many stresses you can have, especially as a business owner, but as anyone, that can pop up. Something in your relationship can change. You don't know, right? You got to be ready. Like, the athlete's mindset is to always be ready physically, but you have to put yourself in this place mentally to be ready for the stresses that life throws at you. And I think routines like that can get you in that state of readiness. So I empower you all to try something like that.
What really carryover fun have you seen, mate, into your health? What carryover have you seen from these habits and these non-negotiables and these routines? What have you seen in terms of your health, but then also in terms of your mind and your business as well? So those kind of three areas, what carryover have you seen?
Yeah, so I would say health-wise, I feel like I have a clearer direction in any given day. So in any moment, my mind is free of stress a lot more, which is what so many of us are seeking. How can I reduce my stress? How can I reduce anxiety? Whatever. And I think that when you have systems in your life, not only to attract you wealth and to build your business, but if you have systems for personal health, physically and mentally, you're so much more likely to succeed. And if you neglect either one of those, then you're ultimately doomed, because if you're not taking care of up here, your head, then something's going to go wrong. You're going to show up as a person you don't want to be. And if you're not taking care of yourself physically in terms of your body, then you're going to have illnesses and pain, but it has allowed me to feel less stressed, which has meant that I'm able to show up better in my relationships. I'm able to network with people and show up as who I really am, as opposed to a suppressed version because of the stress and anxiety. And the people I've connected with, such as you, I mean, you've met me in the last year. So all you've ever seen is this, I would say, updated version of myself. If we were to meet 5 years ago, we may not have connected on this level. And I don't know if that's because of everything I'm doing in my life now, but we're here, we're having this conversation. So I must be doing something right to bring myself to you to show up as this. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think as well, when you look after your well-being, your health on all fronts, mind, body, spirit, I think there's so many variables that it's hard sometimes to put your finger on what is helping, what is working.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's the knowing that it's working. It's all combined is making a difference, because I don't really know whether cold showering or journaling or meditation or weight training or whatever as or improving my nutrition has helped me. Yeah. Maybe it's one of them, maybe it's all of them, but I keep doing them, the ones that I like and I enjoy that stick. I keep doing them because I know they're making an impact.
And on any given day, you're probably going to neglect one of them more than the others. So if you have a lot of tools you're using, then a 1% drop is not really going to affect you. Whereas if the only thing you're doing in any given day is a meditation and you forget that, and then you place that, you know, importance on that one practice, then you're not going to feel so good. But yeah, I think these things are so important, just really pushing yourself to, you know, actually try these different practices, be open to the ideas. And if you're already somebody that is taking on lots of these small hints, don't stop, just be empowered to try new things, because I've been focusing on my health and fitness for years, but it's only in recent months that I've felt big shifts have occurred in my life, whether that be the kind of people I've been connected with, the happiness I've felt on a daily basis, the results my clients have been seeing. And I know that's no one hack. It's no one life shift. It's not the fact that I'm vegan. It's not the fact that, you know, I get 8 hours sleep a night. It's nothing, none of those things. It's everything combined. And we need to remember that, you know, in a world where social media and many things online tell us that if you just tweak this one thing, your life will be perfect. That's never the case. It's a combination of everything, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when you cook in, it's with a recipe. It's not just the salt or the spices or whatever. It's the combination of all those things that make the dish. Same with your health, same with life.
Yeah, man. That's a good analogy. Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
I'm going to trademark that. Anyway, mate, let's talk about this kind of spiritual path that you're going down now, because I've seen in the last few months since we met, actually, and since we started talking, you're starting to kind of shift your thinking, your views down maybe this more kind of spiritual angle. I mean, spirituality is a big term and it's a big umbrella term. Talk to me and the listeners and the viewers a little bit more about that, where you're going with that, what you maybe, how your thoughts have changed and what that means to you, what a spiritual kind of way of life means to you at the moment.
Yeah. And that is a funny one to describe in a short way, because it's something that I would say I've always been a deep thinker. You know, friends of mine that have known me for 20 years, 10 years, have known me to be the person who at school was very quiet, was definitely an introvert. But if you get talking to me, I'll either keep talking or I'll fixate on a subject for long enough that it will start to not make sense to most people, right? Because I keep going down that rabbit hole. I think into things so much. So when things happen to me in my life, such as, you know, my mum passing away or any other big shifts, I really think into that. I think into what does that mean? What does that mean for the universe? But, you know, move forward a few years in my life to now where I started getting these ambitions to build an online business, to, I guess, build a bit more of a personal brand. I had to start looking into alternative practices to move me forward first and faster. And I think that the more I've got in touch with the spiritual side of my life, with meditation, listening to, you know, spiritual teachings of multiple religions and backgrounds, I've just found that things keep happening for me. You know, the more open I am to new ideas, awesome people keep popping up into my life. I find that opportunities are coming in abundance to my life. And I was never somebody who grew up in a religious household. I was raised by a Christian family, but only somewhat. Like in many Western countries, there's not a fixed faith. I was fairly agnostic to my views. But, you know, the last year, especially as I've started to take more and more risks financially in my business, in other areas of life, I've found that the more in touch I've got with my spiritual side, and I've started thinking more about what is the meaning of life, what is the meaning of this universe we're in, I've developed a view that is, what is the worst that can happen, because I have the context of these new spiritual views that show me that every risk is worth taking, because what if this is some kind of simulation? What if this is some kind of existence that isn't what you think it is? And I don't have a fixed viewpoint on that. I'm just open. So when it comes to making a big financial investment or taking a huge risk or taking on a new team member or saying yes to a new opportunity, I'm not scared, because I've seen the worst that can happen to me on an emotional level. And through grounding myself every single day spiritually, I realized that, why should we hang around? Why should we not take risks? When if you want to follow your heart, if you want to do something, why not try it? Because at the end of the day, who knows what existence we're going to blossom into in the next reality of ours? Who knows, you know, the chances of us being here today? And it sounds woo-woo, everything that I'm saying, but yeah, I'm really open to it, man. And I think the more I've got into these routines, it's just taken me down a path that I'm enjoying.
Definitely. There's two things that I'm going to point out that you said. The first one is you mentioned faith, and I think faith is beyond powerful, and people don't realize, people kind of get associated with faith with religion. But I remember 2013. So we're probably talking 7 years ago. And I went to a business development course because I was at a point with my personal training business where I was really good at training people, but I knew fuck all about about business. So I went on this course.
People to train.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I went on this course about a year and a half into running my own business. I was like, I need help with business, with marketing, with sales, all that kind of stuff. And it was an American company. I sat there, room full of people, and they was talking about their core values and stuff, and the values of the company. And I was like, what the hell are core values? I've never even heard of this before. And there's one that's always stuck with me, and I think I've put it into practice as best I can as well. And it was their value was have courage, practice faith. Have courage, practice faith. And that's always stuck with me. If you've got the courage, like you say, taking risk, which is part of courage, and you keep the faith, knowing that there's a higher power that is looking after you, that is protecting you, then it is, what's the worst that can happen? Yeah. You're following your path that you're meant to follow. And yes, something might go wrong, but more than likely something will go right. And I think what you said about you've got to go and live it, and you've got to go and do it. I think what holds most people back is the fear, maybe the fear of the unknown, or the worries, or the anxiety. What would be like advice and tips for people if they're listening to this and thinking, oh, that's all good and well, Connor, that's all good and well, Ali, but I'm scared, or I've got a worry that something's going to go wrong. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say, think very long and hard about personal experiences you've had, because if you've lived to any age beyond 5-10 years old, there's something in your life that has probably, if you were really, really to think on it, affected you in a big way. Maybe you've suppressed those thoughts and emotions. Maybe you've never highlighted them until this moment right now. But there's something in your life that made you think, wow, that put things into perspective. Maybe it was a family member passing away. Maybe it was a health scare of yours, family member witnessing a car accident. I don't know. Sorry if this relives any traumas, but if you think about those moments in your life that put the existence that we live day to day in on autopilot into perspective, that will most likely help you to overcome fear. And if you can start doing things on a daily basis that make you feel 1% uncomfortable, maybe that's just getting up, plunging your head under the cold tap in the sink. Maybe that's having a cold shower as step two. Maybe that doesn't make you scared. Maybe that sounds really easy to you and it's too little. Then get out of your comfort zone more. But I think the more you can get out of your comfort zone in a small way, when it comes to life throwing you a big, big challenge where you have the opportunity to say yes or no, am I going to be scared, or am I going to have the mindset of abundance that I can do anything, then I think that you're going to be in a much better place. So what I would say to wrap that up is, yeah, try and think about something, an example of your life where you've done something that was overcoming fear? Because most of us have done amazing things. We are exceptional humans that make huge life-changing decisions on a daily basis. We just don't give ourselves credit for it. That is the absolute key. We do so many things, whether that's volunteering to help your elderly, you know, grandparent out on a weekly basis, or caring for a loved one. You probably aren't giving yourself credit right now for so many things that you're doing that are exceptional. And if you start noticing that and writing down, again, this comes back to the power of journaling and these self-reflection practices. If you can do all of those things, you realize, wow, holy shit, like, I'm pretty phenomenal. I can do things that are, you know, that most people won't do. I'm putting myself in uncomfortable situations anyway. And when you realize that you're already doing it, then something comes to you and there's an opportunity and you're maybe a bit fearful. That next time it comes, you're going to feel less fear because you realize that you're already saying yes to hard decisions. So this next one is just what you already do.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome advice. And I've never really heard anyone label it up and use that way of doing it, of dealing with fear like that. So that's really, really good. And also to point out to the people listening and watching, when you're doing that advice that Connor's just given, you're using two powerful spiritual practices, which are reflection and visualization. So you're reflecting on a challenging time or a time where you've overcome fear, and then you're visualizing how you can overcome that or take yourself to the next level. So they are two powerful practices, and you're doing them there maybe without even realizing it. So that's amazing. Love it. Yeah. Love it. Next bit I want to talk about is your lifestyle in terms of the nutrition side of things. So obviously you follow this vegan lifestyle. Talk to me about how long you've been doing that for, and also how that's affected your life and your calisthenics as well.
Yeah, for sure, man. So yeah, it's a funny thing, really. I've never defined myself as that vegan guy that does calisthenics. The funny thing is, if you look at my Instagram, you know, the title is Vegan Calisthenics Coach, and that's for SEO purposes. But in reality, I don't see that as something that's a core value of mine. I love the plant-based diet. I love the vegan lifestyle for so many reasons, and I will stay true to that for as long as I possibly can. But the thing that got me into it was, as I was studying to be a PT, like I said, at that time in my life, I was looking for any way I could possibly help myself become the most healthy version of myself. And I started trying out a plant-based diet at the time. I got really into it. I saw lots of, you know, medical claims that said it was incredible and it could make you feel great. And honestly, any diet I changed would have helped me out because I was not in a good place with my diet and lifestyle. But with that being said, as soon as I switched to a fully plant-based diet, I've never felt better. The first few years definitely took some getting used to, but it transitioned from something that for me was initially purely a health experiment to make my life healthier. And when I started sticking to it for, you know, a year or two, I started connecting the dots in my head between what was going on behind closed doors in animal agriculture. I didn't like the idea of that. And I thought to myself, if I can be doing something that I'm already doing and it's making me feel good, if a bonus point of that is that I'm going to inflict less pain on other living beings, I'm happy to go with that, happy to say yes to it. And I'll educate myself as to why that's how that can work for me. So obviously there are things you have to do following a vegan diet to live optimally. I'm not a believer that any one diet is necessarily superior to others. I'm open to all opinions. But for me, I know for a fact that, you know, a plant-based diet works very, very well. And near enough, every single client I've ever worked with that has transitioned to a plant-based diet has been thriving as well. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need to work hard on that. You don't need to supplement B12 and other things. But I believe that it works really, really well for me. And like I said, coming onto a more conscious way of living, when I think about it, not eating animal products, not eating meat, not eating dairy. My skin cleared up when I was, you know, I stopped eating dairy. I really enjoyed that. I liked the fact that I wasn't as bloated, and I always had some kind of some fears about feeling bloated and looking weird because my stomach always expanded, and I just stopped having that when I reduced my dairy. And it's worked really well for me. I'm definitely not a preachy vegan guy. It's not the person that I say, hey, nice to meet you, I'm Connor and I'm vegan. That's not me at all. And I don't want it to be, because that's not the main thing of my identity, but I absolutely love it. You know, I would say to anyone wanting to try, you know, to eat more plant-based in their diet, definitely do your research and figure out how to do it slowly, because if you do anything overnight, it's going to feel like it's most likely not going to work for you. I had some days where I felt like shit because all I ate was beans all day and I felt super bloated and I wasn't eating enough calories and I lost weight and then I gained weight. It's a journey. Ultimately, that's what I help people do in my coaching, but it's a really, really interesting thing that I've loved, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, your way of eating, your diet, your nutrition protocol, it's just like your calisthenics and just like your morning routines and just like this kind of spiritual path that you're going on now. You found something that works for you and it's rinse and repeat. If it's working and the proof's in the pudding, then just keep going.
Exactly that.
100%. Okay. Let's give the audience some actionable steps that they can put into practice straight away. As soon as they finish this podcast, it's going to help them with, I'd say, all areas of their health. So mind, body, spirit, could you give them 3 pieces of advice that they can put into practice straight away as soon as they finish this podcast to improve their health and well-being? Yeah.
Okay, cool. So this may be random, but the first thing that comes to my mind is to go away. This is going to the mind straight away, but go away, get a piece of paper out and write down 5 things that you are proud that you have achieved, whether that's in the last day, the last week, the last 10 years of your life. You're going to write 5 things down that are quite superficial. Read them. You might say, I'm really happy I bought this car. I'm really happy I bought this house. Read them again. Write another 5 things you're really, really proud of. And the second round of that will be meaningful because you're going to have to draw on an area of your life you maybe haven't explored before. If you then pin that up on your bedroom wall, look at that for a week, every single day, see how it makes you feel. Because I guarantee that is going to give you the affirmation you need to say that you can achieve anything you want. So that's mentally. Physically, get moving as much as you can. If you don't already, make sure right now that, you know, if you are at home working from home, just get up, walk every couple of hours, do something, try and count your steps on your phone, or just be mindful and do some activity as much as you can, because you cannot function well as a human if you're not moving. So whether or not you physically exercise, please just get up and do some steps, especially out in the cold. It'll make you feel amazing. And just if you're ever having that brain fog moment at home when you're working, get up, walk for 10 minutes, come back, you'll feel a whole lot better. And when it comes to the spiritual side of things, this kind of ties into that first exercise because it's that reflection. But I would say when it comes to spiritually, this is very simple and it's something you can all do. Try and find a piece of content on YouTube or on the wealth of plethora of social medias that inspires you. A video that is maybe motivational, some kind of Alan Watts lecture, whatever it has to be. Type in, I don't know, life motivation, anything that will ground you. Listen to something by Eckhart Tolle, Alan Watts, Jim Carrey, you know, anything that is going to take you into a place of alternate viewpoint, and try and watch that. Watch that a couple of times, listen to it. If you're somebody who loves reading, go and read The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. That's like an amazing book. Go listen to, you know, more podcasts like this one that are going to open your mind. And if you do that on a daily basis, little by little, you're going to make these 1% shifts in your thinking that will allow you to live a more limitless life.
Beautiful. Love it. I had Alan Watts on earlier, blasting some Alan Watts.
Yeah.
People should definitely go and check him out for sure.
He's an awesome guy.
You want to, we mentioned something a second ago that I really want to touch on, because you put this amazing video out about this the other day and I commented on it, and people should go and check your video out on Instagram, and it's about affirmations. Would you be able to go into a bit more detail on that? I mean, I've spoken about them before on the podcast and probably other guests have as well, but can you just give a bit more context on affirmations? And then I don't know if you're comfortable maybe sharing one or two of your affirmations with the listeners so they can get a vibe for what it's all about. And then just round it off, mate. I've asked you 3 things there, but round it off with how that's really changing your life at the moment by practicing these as well.
Yeah, of course. So to anyone who is listening who isn't yet aware, positive affirmations of any kind are essentially telling yourself on a deeper level that you're kind of programming your mind. So the time of day you do this is going to massively affect the results. I personally, like I mentioned earlier, like doing this in the morning when you're in that first half hour of wake, half an hour, because your brain's in a different state. You haven't yet been succumbed to the screen pressures of looking at your phone and being obsessed with that dopamine hit of the likes and all that other crap. But look, affirmations are telling yourself who you want to be. So an affirmation example could be relevant to your life in a specific way. So if you're trying to build a business right now, if you're trying to become the CEO of your company, you're trying to be an entrepreneur, you could wake up every day and say, I am an exceptional leader. People look to me as an expert in my field. I have phenomenal coping skills. If you have something specific in your life you're trying to overcome right now, this is the beauty. You can use it specific to situations. If you're trying to get over an emotional trauma or cope with that, you can tell yourself, I have phenomenal coping skills. I'm ready for anything life throws at me. You know, the list goes on of what you could say, but when you develop a few core affirmations that you truly believe in, or at least want to believe in, if you say them, you write them down, you say them out loud and believe it every single day, I believe that they start to become true. Because if nothing else, you've told yourself in the morning you're going to do something. And as humans, we are psychologically inclined to be consistent with what we say. We always say that. If you've told a friend of yours a story about yourself, you're going to go back and remember that story and repeat it because you want to be consistent with your reality. So if you wake up in the morning and say, I am a CEO, I am a leader, I have exceptional coping skills, then something comes into your life and it's going to challenge you. You're going to have exceptional coping skills because you've told yourself that morning what you're going to do. So that is an explanation of the affirmations. And what was your next question? How you can use that?
No. Share some and then how it's changed your life.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I kind of shared a few examples. For me personally, as much as, look, I am somebody who is trying to build an online business right now. I'm really trying my best to impact others in a positive way, to help the lives of thousands of others of people. So I probably do tweak my affirmations to that reality. So I wake up in the morning, I say, you know, I am somebody who has an incredible network. Opportunities flow to me. That was more of a statement, but yeah, you know, it's an affirmation of saying what you're going to do. Opportunities flow to me in abundance. I have everything in front of me. I already know the people I need to know who will take me amazing places. I am a leader. I am inspirational. These are all some things that the first few times you say them, you might not believe it. But you do that more and more and more, you're going to start believing with that, and then your reality will turn into it. And look, what it's done for my life, if nothing else, I feel better every single day, you know, whether the stats are moving in that direction or not. Whatever. I mean, I have started seeing more financial success in recent months and years than ever before in my life, you know, in a exponential way. Month on month, my life is moving forwards in a positive way. And I'm very mindful that that is not going to be a linear journey. There are going to be huge knocks to that. But right now, recently, I've been moving forwards in an exceptional way. And I'm super blessed and super grateful for that. And honestly, it's just given me the power to believe that you can achieve anything you want. So it doesn't matter if you're trying to raise a family and your biggest mission right now is to be the best mom or dad for your kids. That's amazing. Make that your mission and then use these affirmations to help enforce that belief for you. But you can use these spiritual tools in a way that is going to actually improve your modern day-to-day life. I think that's the key.
Definitely. Love it, mate. Love it. There's a few things I want to mention off the back of everything you've just said. And I might get ridiculed for this and people might disagree with me, but I don't really care. that it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. That's what I'm going to throw out there and say. It does not matter if you believe it or not, because when you're saying these things to yourself or even thinking them, your subconscious mind does not know whether it's real or not. It does not know whether it's a truth or a lie. So if you keep putting it in there, you will eventually embody that, and when you embody it, you'll start to take action on it, and when you start to take action on it, you will see the changes in your life. So I don't personally believe that it matters whether you believe that or not. So you could say I am rich, even if you've only got one penny in your bank account, you could say I'm rich, and it doesn't matter whether it's you believe it or not, or it's true for a lie. That's just my personal view on it. Secondly, I wanted to share a story. I'll keep this brief. And if people want to check it out, they can go over to my LinkedIn and see it. I need to put it on Instagram. But I had this lady, this is no word of a lie, this is God's honest truth. This lady had seen, I'd met her actually about a long time ago, 6-7 years ago, networking. Not seen her for years. Popped up out of the blue, sent me a Facebook message. Hey, Ali, you might not remember me, blah, blah, blah. But I saw one of your posts on social media about journaling and the power of affirmations. And I thought, I'll just give it a go. So she started journaling and writing the same affirmation for 30 days. And it was all centered around her son's rekindling their relationship. She had two sons, adult sons, and they're not spoken to each other for a long time, 4 or 5 years. And she kept writing this affirmation, praying, speaking it, embodying it every single day. And then after doing it for 30 days, two sons got back talking again. And then one of her sons had a birthday party and the other son came and they were talking. She sent me pictures of them hugging and all this kind of stuff. And they'd not had a relationship for like 5-6 years. And it was like tearing her in two and breaking her. And just this practice of writing it down and practicing affirmations and thinking it into existence, it actually came true. So there is a prime example, not one of mine, not one of Connor's examples, an example from somebody in the real world that did this stuff and it worked. So we're not saying that it's going to work every single time, but the more you put this stuff into practice, the more potential it's got of coming into fruition.
Yeah, that's cool, man. It's that idea of manifestation, like manifesting the reality you want. And I think with any of these practices, that the key is just being open-minded, because at the end of the day, my perspective is if I'm doing these things on a daily basis and it doesn't come to me, that's fine. I mean, that's the reality most people live in right now. Like, nothing's working for them. So why not try something that is going to potentially change it? And if it works, great, take ownership over it. If it's not, you're not going to be in a worse position than now. It's not going to make your life worse. So be open to it. And then if it does work, attach meaning to it and say, cool, I'm going to try this again, because why not?
Yeah. And it's also about digging deeper, I think. You what you said earlier about the writing things down you're proud of, and that's kind of digging deeper within yourself. And I think when you dig deeper, you might have been saying these affirmations, you might have been practicing something, and it's not coming through to you, or it's not coming into this reality, as you put it, or this existence. But that might be not connected with what you're here for your purpose. It might not be your heart's desire. Maybe you've set an affirmation around something that is not aligned with your purpose, with your values. So it's always good to keep working on yourself, keep digging deeper, keep peeling away the layers of the onion, so you can connect these affirmations to your truest self, to who you really want to be in this vessel, on this plane, whilst you're here for this limited time.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's a really fun game, this life. And I think if you start playing all the levels, then it gets a lot more fun.
Yeah, man. And it's all about unlocking the other levels.
Exactly.
Like Sonic or Mario.
Yeah, exactly.
Treat life like a computer game.
Literally. I think I do. And since I've started doing that, it gets a lot more fun.
Yeah, man. I love that. I love it. Wicked. Well, I've loved that, Connor. 23, killing it. You're killing it, mate. Young man, killing it. And I keep seeming to attract these young entrepreneurs onto the show. So maybe it's like a little niche I'm forming here, young entrepreneurs. But no, I love to see like-minded people doing well, and also young people just killing it and smashing it and having a positive head on the shoulders. So it's an inspiration for younger people listening to this, for sure. And I'm sure some of the older audience will get a lot from it as well. Just to round out the show, mate, where can the listeners and viewers go to get all of your content, find out more about you, maybe even sign up to your coaching program or one of your courses? Where can they go?
Yeah, of course. So the easiest way to reach me is on Instagram. So that's at @ConnorTyson_PT. It's very simple. If you type in Connor Tyson, click on the guy with his shirt off, that's probably going to be me. I'm on most platforms. On YouTube, I'm on as Tyson Calisthenics. I have my own podcast called Planting the Seed, so check that one out as well. I'm sure I'm going to have Ali on at some point very soon as well.
I'd love that.
Yeah, that's the best way to find me, honestly. Drop me a message on Instagram, say, hey, I just listened to your episode with Ali on the, you know, his podcast and really enjoyed it. Then we can have a chat. Like, I think it's super nice to actually connect beyond the level of tapping the follow button, because There's so much you can get out of social media, so many lovely relationships you can form. And I think, you know, I'm always welcoming to anyone dropping me a DM, have a nice conversation with you. So yeah.
Love it. Favorite quote then, mate, to finish the show, round out the show, finish the show with a powerful quote.
Okay, cool. So yeah, one of my favorite quotes, this comes back to what I said about listening to these motivational videos every single morning. But there's this one speech that Jim Carrey does, and he says about, you know, he says, so many of us live a life full of fear disguised as practicality. And I think that's just a super powerful mantra to go by, to not choose fear and just to choose abundance instead and go and follow your heart.
Love it. Couldn't have said it any better, mate. Wicked. Thanks so much for your time, Connor. Wish you all the success, and hopefully I'll get on your show and we can chop it up again and keep doing what you're doing, mate.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you.
That's a wrap on another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast episode with your friends, family, and colleagues. Until next time, peace and love.